is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews. I'm in the studio for the start of lockdown week 8 on my own, but I have got some great guests joining me later on. But it's with deep shock and sadness that I have to report the unbelievable passing of Bradley McManus last week. It's come as a deep shock to all of us. Such a lovely, intelligent and funny man. He's going to be a great loss, and we send our condolences to Amy and the family. Likewise, we also send our deep heartfelt condolences to Mike Thompson from the station on the loss of his dad, Colin. We're with you in spirit, guys. Stay strong. We've got a packed lineup today. There's lots to talk about. The government announced on Sunday evening some minor lifting of restrictions, and we'll be talking about those. But we're going to spend quite a bit of time today talking about the construction industry, because that's one of the industries that the government have highlighted can be opened again. So we're going to look at some of the things around that that are going to be happening. And I was joined in a Zoom call by Jules Serkin, and we're going to play that for you later on. If you think the interview sounds a bit funny, it's because we Zoomed it. And during the Zoom, for some reason, Jules kept changing hats, and I had to pretend not to notice what she was doing. So there's a few sniggers in there, so I do apologise for that. But we'd love to hear from you, all the businesses out there in the southeast of England. So do please tweet me at VanillaWeb and use the hashtag BBunker. We've had a few tweets already. I've got lots of information to tell you about and new things that are happening. And I'd just like to say a huge thank you to today's show sponsors, who are the folks at Thackeray Williams Solicitors. And they have set up a free legal advice line, and it's for businesses in the wake of the coronavirus epidemic. And you can call them during the day, 5 days a week, and you don't have to be a client. It's completely free to use, and you can call them on 0208 663 4127. That's Thackeray Williams Solicitors, 0208 663 4127. You can look at their website, which is www.thackeraywilliams.com. Do check that out. So, what have we got? The Sevenoaks Chamber tell me that they've got a social media workshop happening on May the 14th. I think that was that Thursday, between 1:30 and 3. They say, join us for a social media workshop aimed specifically at the retail and hospitality sector. Zoe Cairns, who's a highly respected and proficient international social media speaker, trainer and consultant, will be leading that workshop. You can join in the workshop by going to eventbrite.co.uk/retail and hospitality online social media. That's eventbrite.co.uk/retail and hospitality online social media. Do check that out. 14th of May at 1:30. I had a tweet from the lovely Tamsin Fox Davis in response to one of my tweets this morning, saying that I've been talking to Jules, and she said, your friendship makes me very happy. It's a lovely thing, and sending you both a big hug. Well, Tamsin, thank you so much for that. It's an absolute pleasure to hear from you. I hope you're staying well and keeping safe, and it will be lovely to catch up with you once this is over and we're allowed out again. So, Tamsin, thank you very much. I've also had a tweet from Tabba Official, TABA_official. That's the lovely Tracy Ann Barker. And she says, sounds like it's going to be another great show. Have a good one. Thank you very much. Who else have we got here? WIB Radio, Sean Murphy and the team. It sounds like you've got a great show coming up. So thank you for that. Yeah, we try to keep you informed, and we try to let you know what's going on and how things are unfolding. Jules and I talk quite a lot about the government's new plans later on in our recorded interview. So I'm not going to cover too much of that, because we go into that later. But I'm going to tell you about some of the things that are going on over the next few days, and some pieces of information that you might find useful. Starting with, there's a completely new set of reworked guidance sheets to help employers, employees and the self-employed understand how to work safely during the coronavirus pandemic. The government, in consultation with industry, has produced guidance to help ensure workplaces are as safe as possible. There are 8 guides and they cover a range of different types of work. Many businesses operate more than one type of workplace, such as an office factory or a fleet of vehicles. You may need to use more than one of these guides as you think your way through what you need to do to keep people safe. They're actually fairly simple and easy to understand. The guides are all online, and as that said, there are 8 guides in all, but you can, you know, mix and match them if you do slightly different things, because they're broken down into the different things that you actually do. And you can find them by going to www.gov.uk/guidance/working safely during coronavirus. So that's www.gov.uk/guidance/working safely during coronavirus. I will add that link to our general purpose blog that we have on the Business Radio website. We have a blog that lists all the contacts, all the web links, and all the various things you need to know for businesses and employees. So we'll add that link later today and then tweet out the link again so that you can find it. But it's www.gov.uk/guidance is where you're going to find it. What else have we got here? There's some free training available, and it's for furloughed or redundant staff, and it's from a company called QA Training. And they say, in these extraordinary times, we want to support businesses and individuals to learn new skills while on lockdown. With more than 6 million workers now on furlough and a large number of firms having to make staff redundant, QA wanted to do something to help. That's why we're offering a selection of our most popular courses for free to workers on furlough or those who've been made redundant as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. The courses represent thousands of hours of learning, all delivered by our expert trainers via interactive virtual classrooms. Our hope is that this initiative will stimulate skills growth in key technical areas during a difficult time for people, organisations and the wider economy. The training complies with the government guidelines on furloughed workers, which states that time on furlough can be spent learning new skills. If you want to find out about it, find out what's on offer, find out what you can do, if you go to www.qa.com/campaigns/free training scheme. Let me give you that again. www.qa.com/campaigns/free training scheme. Do check that out. I've had a tweet from Bev and Tony, the lovely folks at Chips and Dinks. We're listening in while we carry on with some much-needed DIY. Looking forward to the show. Have a great one. Well, thank you very much. Good luck with your DIY. Let us know. Maybe send us some pictures. Tell us what you're doing. Coat of paint to the kitchen. You know, what are you doing? Drop us a tweet with a photo. I've also had a tweet from Michael Park Surveyors. Hi, Paul. We would greatly appreciate a shout-out. We're ready to help your listeners find the ideal commercial property. That's michaelparks.co.uk is their website, or you can follow them on the Twitter, Michael Parks Surveyors, MPSL is their Twitter handle. Chartered Surveyors, based in Medway, covering the southeast of England. Do give them a check out. Let me read one more tweet, and then I think we'll pay some tunage. We had a tweet from... where is it? Let me find it. From Karen Kent, the lovely Kim Stevens. Let me just read her words properly. I don't want to paraphrase it. She says... where are we? I'd love a shout out on the Business Bunker. Thanks to our unsung heroes for their exceptional role in caring for the vulnerable despite all the current risks. The love and care the team show continues to leave me awestruck, as does it all of us, Kim, as does it all of us. And on that, you might know that today is International Nurses Day, would you believe? In which they celebrate the 200th anniversary of the birth of Florence Nightingale. Interesting fact for you, I actually gave the keynote speech at St Thomas's Hospital to the nursing staff and medical staff there about 10 years ago on Florence Nightingale Day, which was a lovely day and I thoroughly enjoyed it, and what a lovely bunch of people. in line with everything else those folks have done. Today's International Nursing Day, and we need to recognise them for their skill, their bravery, and how much we depend on them. Thank you so much. Okay, let's have some tunage, and then we'll talk to our first guest. The boys are back in town there, Phil Lynott and Thin Lizzy. Now, hopefully, I'm joined on the phone by Joanne Taylor. Hello, Joanne.
Hi, Paul.
Lovely to hear your voice. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Joanne is from Fit for Trade. Joanne, why don't we kick off by you just telling the listener what it is that you guys do?
Okay, so Fit for Trade is a privately owned independent training provider which specialises in training in the construction industry, but more specifically the fenestration, so the world of everything glazing, whether it's commercial or domestic.
Windows and doors.
Windows, doors, conservatories, bifolds, roof lights, name it.
I don't know if you've seen, but every time I tweet out about you, someone has a fenestration bot. And when,
Oh, yes.
Have you seen
it? Fenestration bot.
Yeah.
Now, fenestration bot is my friend.
Oh, is it?
Basically, Mr. Bot is very active in the fenestration industry. So, yes, you'll see him pop up quite a lot.
Yeah, I get all these strange messages and it does make me giggle. It really does.
Well, he'd love a shout-out. So, hi, Fenestration Bot.
Well, let's have a big shout-out for Mr. Fenestration Bot, who's done a fabulous job promoting the fenestration industry. So, fenestration's about glass glazing, doors, windows, those kind of things. And you also operate in the wider construction industry, I know.
We do, yeah, more specifically on the higher end. So, most of our higher-end qualifications are sort of from level 4, level 6, level 7. Mm. So, it's more the construction site management side.
Right, OK. So you offer a whole range of training courses and qualifications, as you just identified there. Is it classroom training, online training, mixture? How does it work?
No. Predominantly, I mean, we're quite lucky because a lot of our programmes are remotely delivered.
Mm-hmm.
We are work-based training providers, so most of our programs, because they're MVQs, are obviously vocational. So what that means is it's not a practical environment to deliver those in a classroom anyway.
Sure.
That training very much happens in the working environment, so the site environment.
Okay.
So basically we have a team of employed assessors and trainers that actually go out and do that.
Okay.
And work with the employers as well in their facilities to deliver anything specific that we can simulate accordingly.
Okay, so you do an awful lot of that on site and in situ, which makes sense, obviously. You know, as you say, it's not easy to build double glazing and doors in a classroom, is it really?
Well, it's very expensive as well.
yeah, absolutely. We're in week 8 now of lockdown. How have things been from you from a business point of view?
Well, I think like everybody, it's challenging times.
Mm.
It's forever challenging times in the training industry anyway, because obviously there's lots of legislational change that we have to keep up with. So, you know, we're not averse to moving quickly when we have to, or rather the last 8 weeks moving slowly where we have to.
That's
but,
true.
You know, business doesn't stop, does it? And I think what it's shown is that, you know, the robust systems that we've got in place are obviously holding. Like many other businesses, we don't get any sort of additional aid because obviously we're privately owned.
Sure.
So, you know, we continue to work on the business for the business. But obviously, you know, I've had no other option, but unfortunately my staff are on furlough.
We're all in the same boat, Joanne, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's also given the opportunity that all those, being a training provider, all those putting on the back shelf the CPD events and the upskilling and the keeping up with industry specifics, you know, that always tends to get put on the back burner, has actually now come to the forefront. So they've used their time wisely in developing, you know, the online provision, additional resources, keeping in contact, which obviously we're still able to do it even if they're on, you know, furlough.
Sure.
So they're not being strangers. It's just that, you know, the actual engagement side is obviously not able to happen.
Sure.
From their perspective. But then, you know, people are in the same boat, so it's just sort of keeping in contact with people and saying, you know, you can still continue to work on your qualifications. Mm. So that by the time we're ready to obviously then start, and we're now in that stage now of planning to start coming back out, that it's safe to do so. People feel happy and safe. And therefore, you know, site visits can resume. But, you know, I think we're a little way off of that.
Yeah, of course, yeah. And as you quite rightly say, it's very early days, isn't it? It was only announced on Sunday evening, and I guess a lot of construction sites still haven't decided whether they will go back or not, because, you know, it's not mandatory. It's only if it's safe.
I think across the construction industry, most had already planned for that phased return from yesterday, day before yesterday. So, you know, it was already there. A lot are now going in this week to obviously map out to obviously return next week. And, you know, we are the master of the product that can be made. And I think sort of, you know, lockdown, There were bits and pieces being done. We were still able to do, obviously, emergency works within the industry.
Sure.
But what's happened now is that, obviously, people are planning for that manufacturing element, which has a knock-on effect to our installers. You know, an installer can't work if he hasn't got the product. So now those manufacturers are going back. We're now seeing, obviously, that installers are looking to go back. The problem is we're talking probably, in some instances, a 12-week waiting time for the product.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's not by a long shot, and not for a lot of people. Mm. But it is what it is.
Yeah, sure. and you're right. And people don't think about that all the time, do they? You know, when the government announced some unlocking on Sunday night, a lot of people kind of just started going, "Oh well, you know," as if everyone's going to turn up tomorrow morning and start doing things. It's just not possible, you know. And I've been saying this about wider industries than just the construction industry. It applies right across the board. When we eventually do come back to work, all of us, we have got nothing to come back to. We've got very few customers left. You know, we've got no customer pipeline. You know, some that's not, you know, 100%, because some people are in the middle of projects and stuff. But, you know, it's not going to be easy. It's not just going to be picking up where we left off 2 months ago.
No, but in our industry, I mean, you know, whilst people have been in lockdown, it has given them, you know, the opportunity to look at those home improvements. And there's a local supplier quite near to where I live who has been in the office completely on his own, and he said, you know, one phone rings, I'll put that down, the other one's ringing.
Yep.
He's had constant bookings throughout of ordering product, and obviously that's now pushed back everybody else. And, you know, he hasn't been able to give lead times until, obviously, you know, officially returning this week.
Yep.
And, yeah, in some instances, you know, 12 weeks for a product.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's unwinding this is going to be a long process.
Yeah.
I want to ask you...
It's good news to hear that, obviously, the government have announced the extension of that furlough.
Yeah.
For many installers, obviously, where they can't get a product for 12 weeks...
Yeah.
They were starting to panic that, you know, furlough might end at the end of June.
Yeah.
What options were available, because they've still not obviously got an income. Many are self-employed.
Yeah.
And those that were obviously recently self-employed were not entitled to anything other than, you know, the statutory government disbursement. So, you know, it is difficult, but I do think that we're, you know, as we're emerging, the industry is still looking in a good position.
Yeah, absolutely. And just for those, as Joanne just said, for those that haven't heard, the Chancellor, Rishi Sunak, this morning has announced that the job retention scheme has been extended until the end of October 2020, so that's another 4 months, which also gives you an indication of how slowly the full unlock's going to happen as well, I would have thought. But it's good news, because it enables you to feel a bit more comfortable, doesn't it, rather than kind of running out of money at the end of this month.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, Joanne, Last time I talked to you, you were a guest on the show quite a few months ago. And back then, it seems like a lifetime ago, back then we were all worried about finding people to work in industry. We have full employment, we had skill shortages and all kinds of things. I just wondered what your thoughts are at this moment about when this is over and we do go back, how you see, you know, what the situation, what the land will look like then.
Well, we've been touching base with a number of our existing employers and clients, and I do think it's very much 50-50 at the moment.
Yeah.
We've got some of them, you know, some of the SMEs that potentially will be going.
Yep.
So where they were very active in their plans, either those plans have now been put back for growth for sort of 12 to 18 months, we're looking at in some instances, or potentially not reopening at all.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think some of the larger contractors will be looking at this quite closely. Mm. There will still be the skill shortage out there, and potentially you've got a lot more people that are trainable and employable that will be seeking employment.
Yep.
But it just depends on whether there is going to be the employers there.
Yeah.
To obviously support that.
Yep.
I do think, again, the construction industry is a very robust industry.
Sure.
We've come through many a tough time through recessions.
Yep.
And I'm sure that, you know, they're very proactive as well as being very reactive.
Mm.
And I'm sure that, you know, this will turn out well.
Mm.
Training is always a difficult one because it's normally the last thing that somebody wants to budget for.
Yep.
You know, we would like to see that whilst people, as part of their plans, are looking at that upskilling, which is obviously an area that we can assist them with.
Sure.
That's always going to be a growth area for us. And
yep.
That upskilling, I think, is even more important now.
Absolutely.
And we do see that there will probably be certainly a prolonged, if not an increase, in this home working.
Mm.
So with that comes, you know, that knowledge, upskill to be able to cope with that as well.
Absolutely. That's an interesting point you make, because you're absolutely right. I think work from home in general is going to be a thing now. For the future. It's something that people are asking. I actually saw a report the other day. I don't know whether it was a trade union or a trade association asking the government to think about making it a right, so that, you know, like it's a right to ask for flexible working hours. They're talking about making it a right to ask for the ability to work from home. Now, more and more people are going to want to work from home. That has implications on our technology infrastructure, for a start, but it also has quite a few implications, I would have thought, for construction, house building and stuff like that, because we may need to start thinking about building homes that are suitable as offices as well, or suitable workspaces.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, there's certainly opportunities there, and I'm sure that people will be looking at as part of their, you know, their planning.
Mm.
And, you know, we've had eight weeks now to... Mm. You know, to think about that and to remain active and to re-look at, you know, the business as a whole of what that's going to look like.
Yep.
And how we emerge out of it.
Yep.
So I do think there's a lot going out there, and like you say, a lot of the trade associations are providing that help and assistance. They're not regulatory bodies, but, you know, they are providing that little bit of clarity,
yep.
especially in relation to home, you know, the home working scenarios,
yep.
or, you know, working in people's homes,
yep.
Which is obviously a little bit different to the,
sure.
to the site work.
Yeah.
But the remote working, you know, yes, we've always, you know, we've had that flexibility to ask for that. But I do think that where we've had a lot of employers saying, no, you know, working from home is not on the cards, it's now been proven that it works very well, and some people, actually, their level of productivity has actually risen.
Absolutely, yeah. I've
rather seen, than, you know, taking out that travel into the office and the travel back and the battling with the traffic and, you know, so you know, it's a good thing. And we hear a lot of negatives about, you know, health and well-being, but actually there's been a lot of positives that have come out where people have had the chance to self-evaluate and say, you know, what can I change?
Yeah,
because actually this has been a positive experience. It's given me that opportunity to think.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And to make good action. So, you know, there's good and bad.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. You know, out of every crisis, there's always new opportunities and a new direction that we're going to take. And as you say, it's going to make us reevaluate a lot of the things we do. And I think one of the biggest things, I think you're absolutely right, a lot of people are going to go, you know, do I really want to spend 4 hours of my day commuting any longer when I'm actually more productive working from home? There are issues with working from home as well, of course, but I think you're absolutely right. I think there's going to be a big reevaluation of it. And just coming back to construction, just while you were talking there, I was thinking as well of opportunities. And I guess there's going to be opportunities to put right all the bad DIY jobs that have been done while people have been locked at home as well.
Well, yeah, there is that. I don't think people are going to be sort of changing their windows and doors because you can't get the product.
But, yeah,
and I don't think all those people queuing outside were queuing up for doors and windows, but...
No, you never know.
You'd like to think not.
You never know. You never know, do you?
Leave that one to the professional.
Yeah. Boredom strikes you in funny ways, I have to say. Joanne, it's great to talk to you and to hear you sounding so well. Thank you, Paul, for taking the time to talk to us. If people want to find out about Fit for Trade and all your qualifications and courses, what's your website?
www.fitfortrade.co.uk, or you can email office@fitfortrade.co.uk.
Fantastic. Joanne, thank you so much for that. It's a pleasure to talk to you as always. Do stay safe.
Thank you.
We'll see you again soon. Yeah,
and
take
all
care.
All your listeners, thank you.
Thanks, Joanne. Bye now.
Bye.
Joanne Taylor there from Fit for Trade, the fenestration, windows, glass, glazing and doors training organisation. As Joanne was saying there, it was announced 10 minutes or so ago, Rishi Sunak, the Chancellor, has announced that the job retention scheme is to be extended for 4 further months, which will take us up to the end of October. That will give some continuity for those that are furloughed. It was due to run out at the end of next month. So that will take us through the summer. It's also an indication, I think, of how they see how long it's going to take to unlock most industries, which, on the other hand, is kind of worrying. But it is good that people can feel a bit more secure for the next few months in terms of having some income to pay their living expenses and to work with and to help those businesses that are struggling a little bit further. I've got a report from a survey that was done by accountants Creston Reeves, and it was a survey of 221 small and medium-sized businesses in Kent, Sussex and London. And they indicate that the next 12 weeks will be critical to the survival of many. 28% have seen their turnover reduced by 70% since the lockdown. 39% have seen their turnover reduced by 50%. And 33% have less than 2 months cash in the bank, 8 weeks. 56% have less than 12 weeks cash in the bank. A majority, 63%, have used the government's job retention furlough scheme, of whom 85% regard it as critical to their ability to keep staff on. The survey was carried out by accountants, business and financial advisors Creston Reeves as part of the Association of Practicing Accountants, a network of 15 accountancy firms providing support to 14,000 businesses across the UK. The survey also found that just 20% of businesses have applied for funding under the government coronavirus business interruption loan scheme, with 84% reporting that the scheme needed to work better, like a lot of things, it's been rushed out. It's been hard to get hold of people. It was hard to get involved in it. But I think now what I'm hearing is it's actually starting to smooth out now, and payments are starting to come through. And the process has kind of tightened up a bit, and most of the organisations that are involved, when it was first rolled out, it was only the five major banks. But I know, for instance, Starling Bank have now been approved, and a few of the other what are called challenger banks are now approved lenders as well. So it's spread out the total number of lenders, which will ease things. There's a comment from Andrew Tate, who's partner and head of restructuring at Creston Reeves, and he said these figures underpin just how grave the situation is for many owner-managed businesses across the UK. Given how challenging the next few weeks are likely to be, government needs to direct the right resource where it's needed most. Our research suggests that furloughing has been critical for the survival of many businesses and their staff, and is working pretty well. However, there remain real challenges with the various government-backed loan schemes on offer, which many of our clients report confusion over assessment criteria or unacceptable delays from participating lenders. This research was carried out between the 14th and the 30th of April. As I say, I think that is easing slightly now, although nothing's ever perfect, is it? But I think that's starting to ease, and those loans are starting to come through now. And of course, the government also announced, I have got something on here, if I can just find it in my paperwork. No, I can't, but never mind, I'll try and remember it. The government also announced the £617 million grant fund for micro businesses, small businesses, market traders, and businesses that occupy space in co-working spaces, i.e. businesses that don't actually pay business rates and don't have business premises of their own. So there's a loan scheme now available for them, which should help a lot of the businesses that had fallen through the cracks in some of the other products and support things that were on offer by the government. Let's see what we've got coming in on the Twitter. I've got a tweet from the lovely folks at Athol Bray, and they say, hi Vanillaware Business Bunker, waving a virtual hello to all businesses in Kent and hoping things are manageable. Webinar training available for staff, but appreciate everyone is concentrating on keeping things going at the moment. But we're here if any training is needed. Keep safe, everyone. Well, you can find out what Athol Bray offer by following them on the Twitter is the easiest thing. And their Twitter handle is Athol Bray LTD. That's ATHELBRAELTD, Athol Bray Limited on the Twitter. Give them a follow. They're lovely folks. See what kind of training they're offering and see if it suits what you need. That's somebody's tweeting me that, but it's finished. So there's not much point in reading that out. What else have we got? Bear with me a second. Why don't we see what we got? The Marsh Networking. The next online networking for networking on the Marsh is on May the 13th. And it's at 10:30. And I'm trying to see how you get to that. Well, this was tweeted to me by Supply My Business. So if you go to supplymybusiness.co.uk/business-community and networking events, you can find out all about it there. What else have we got? We're all isolated but what does that mean for our businesses? Kinder McDonald, using expert methodology, shows you how business relationships can thrive using a carefully designed concoction of marketing to increase interaction. This is a web-based workshop taking place on Wednesday the 13th of May, 11 till 12:30 p.m. And to book it, let me just click the link because it's a hidden link. You need to go to Bite Size Online. Hold on. Oh, it's taking it away. BiteSizeOnline.co.uk. BiteSizeOnline.co.uk is a load of information there on various online workshops. But this one with Kendra McDonald, I've heard Kendra speak. She runs a company called Automation Ninjas. Brilliant. She's absolutely brilliant. See if you can get involved in that workshop. It's going to be a lot of fun because she's a knockout. So do check that out. And that was from Best Business Events. You can follow them on the Twitter, Business Events Number One. Business Events Number One. Give them a follow and you can find out all about that. the Romney Resource Centre have been on with some Tuesday thoughts. NHS volunteers are now welcoming self-referral. If you go to royalvoluntaryservice.org, you can find out all about it. That's the website, royalvoluntaryservice.org. You can find out all about helping there. And let's see what else we've got. Jill Serkin's been on. She says the free training for furlough sounds a brilliant piece of news from those at home. My battery ran out and I've just found an extension lead. Yeah. She's got a 40 meter extension lead for her iPhone. yes. Okay. Thank you, Jules. Right. ZC Social Media have emailed me. Over the last few weeks, we've been delivering various webinars to share the key things you need to consider when creating and posting your social media updates. We've been helping many businesses and working with clients and seeing some amazing things going on. You can access the recording of our free webinar, which was content planning, content creation, and planning in uncertain times. It's packed full of ideas to maintain your engagement, traffic, and conversations, and will guide you through what you should be posting and the key things you need to consider in the current climate. So if you want to listen to that podcast, that webinar again, the website is gettalk.at/ZC webinar recordings. It's gettalk.at/ZC webinar recordings. Do check that out. Okay, Ibiza Fitness Food have been on saying hello. Tracy Ferguson has been on. Interesting conversation with Joanne around emergence from the current situation and the differences in ways of working. I agree that many companies will change to at least partly working from home where it's possible and adds to the productivity and well-being of the workforce. I totally agree, Tracy. I think work from home and remote working will become a big thing. It's already a massive thing in the US, that where they call it the Soho market, which is the small office, home office market. And you have collections of remote workers. Some work from home. Some work for big corporations but work in places like community workspaces like Fruitworks over here in Canterbury or Dragon Co-working or any of the other Neptune Co-working, any of the other co-working spaces that we have around Kent. And then you have a group of people called digital nomads, and they tend to be people that work in technology and just float around wherever they want to float around, from a beach or in Bali or, you know, a home in the country, and they work wherever they need to be because they can work remotely. So I think we're going to see a lot more of that in a lot more fields, a lot more remote working, a lot more home working, but it won't be permanent. I don't think people will enjoy working at home 5 days a week. It's too restrictive. But I do think you'll see a lot of people working at home at least part of the time. Then maybe going into the office 1 day a week or going to a community workspace 1 day a week or 2 days a week to make some human interaction and face-to-face time with people. Ibiza Fitness Food's been on again. Hello, Vanilla Web. Enjoying the radio today. We're in our kitchen in Manston, cooking up a storm of healthy meals, delivering to home or work. Ibiza Fitness Food do ready-made meals, which they cook themselves, and they're all fresh food, but it's all healthy food, but it's also actually delicious food. And they have extensive menus, and they can deliver to your desk or to your home, and you can have it delivered daily, or you can have a week's supply delivered to put into your fridge. Check them out. Easiest way to do that is their website, which is ibizafitnessfood.com. Check them out. Have a look at it. They've got some fantastic menus on there. I've got a tweet here which I'm not entirely – it's probably part of a conversation, although they've addressed it to me. I'd imagine each individual workplace would have unique layout and that the correct safe practice would be applied before any employee can return. Yeah, that's absolutely true. And part of the website I read out earlier, the government website, lays that out in no uncertain terms, the kind of things that you need to do, the kind of suggestions they put in place for the kind of workspace you have. I've got a tweet here from Fruitworks as well, from Tony at Fruitworks, who is in at the moment setting up Fruitworks for the eventuality of when their members will return. And what they're doing there is they've taken out half the desks to create a lot of space. They've put in place partitions and they've taped one-way systems on the floors and queuing systems for coffee rooms and things like that. So it's about keeping people safe distances apart and putting up screens and kind all that kind of thing. Fruitworks are also offering individual pods so that people can work in complete isolation in Fruitworks in a pod of their own or a small office unit of their own. So do check that out, fruitworks.co, the community workspace in Canterbury. How are we doing? Do keep your tweets coming. Since Bird's not been doing the show with me, we've not been getting gifts. So all of you listeners out there, I'm feeling giftless. It's about time you tweeted some gifts. Okay, what else have we got here? The Federation of Small Business have got a Canterbury virtual networking event manana tomorrow, Wednesday the 13th of May, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Meet and expand your network with other business owners in the CT postcode area and share information. The guest speaker is the famous Joe Dodds. Once upon a time, a co-host on this very show. And Joe is the creator of Power to Live More Calm. So she's the guest speaker at the networking event, which is tomorrow, May the 13th, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. So it's just an hour. And it's online, obviously. And you can reserve your place by going to www.fsb.org.uk/event calendar/FSB Canterbury Virtual Networking. Let me give you that again. It's www.fsb.org.uk/event calendar /FSB Canterbury Virtual Networking. Do check that out. Oh, I found my thing that I was trying to find earlier. Now, the government announced the weekend before last a £617 million support fund for those who run businesses but may not pay business rates, such as people that work in co-working spacing, market stall holders and other micro businesses without premises or who occupy shared space. The fund is distributed via local authorities. You need to check your council website for details. Now we have a full listing on the Kent Business Radio website of each borough council in Kent and Medway, plus Kent County Council, plus a few other things, where you can find all the details that we tell you about on the show. You can click through to your area to find out about them. That is to be found, that full listing, and there's lots of other useful numbers and useful resources on there in terms of things to look at, things to go to, and places to register for things. The best thing to do is to look at a blog, and it's kentbusinessradio.co.uk/coronavirus. It's kentbusinessradio.co.uk/coronavirus. HMRC have now begun contacting companies who may be eligible for the Self-Employment Income Support Scheme. And they're running Twitter Q&A sessions. The best thing to do is to follow their Twitter handle for updates on this. And their Twitter handle is @BizSupportUK. BizSupport.gov. Let me do that again. It's BizSupportGov.UK. It's all one word. That's their Twitter handle. BizSupportGov.UK. Check that out. They are announcing details and eligibility for the Self-Employed Income Support Scheme. Check it out. The Romney Marsh Community Support Hub is now taking hundreds of calls through the hubs. Lots of requests for community meals, home carer advice, lots of volunteer applications being processed, lots of people helped. And if you need assistance, the helpline for the Romney Marsh area is open from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday to Friday, and you can call it by calling 01797 208 590. That's 01797 208 590. If you live on the Marsh area and you want to find out anything, if you need help, if you need support, if you just want someone to talk to, call 01797 208 590. for the Romney Marsh Community Support Hub. The FSB have also got a virtual business support event. This is a cash flow and credit management during coronavirus, and it's taking place this Thursday, the 14th of May, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m, so it's at lunchtime, and it's backed by popular demand. It's a workshop that's presented by Tracy Westall, who's a director of Pecunia 2016 Limited. And currently, Tracy and the team at Pecunia 2016 are working hard with all types of businesses, especially SMEs, to help them manage their business cash flow during the coronavirus outbreak. Look, cash flow is important at the best of times. It's quadruply important now, and Tracy is an expert in this field. It really is worth you getting involved with this virtual event on Thursday at lunchtime, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Because I know a lot of people don't like thinking about that side of their business and stuff like that, but it's crucial. It is absolutely crucial, especially at this time. Do get involved if you want to pre-register for it. It's www.fsb.org.uk/event calendar/FSB Kent virtual business support. That's fsb.org.uk/event calendar/FSB Kent virtual business support. Or you can find out about it by following them on the Twitter at FSB Kent. And that's Thursday, the 14th of May, 12 p.m, 1 p.m, with Tracy Westall of Pecunia 2016. Do check that out. What else have we got here? I've got so many bits of paper floating around here, it's unbelievable. And I keep picking the same bit up, I don't know why, to read it over and over again. And we don't want to do that, do we? And now my phone's switched off. What else have we got? I'm just checking my Twitter to see if anything else is coming in at the moment. Diamond Circle Weddings has tweeted, "What would we give for a weekend furlough? We now have a 6-month furlough." Yeah, I think I know what you mean by that. What we're looking for now is having a weekend off, isn't it, where we're allowed to go out for the weekend. Of course, we can't do that, but wouldn't it be nice if we could? Jill Serkin has been on. I think a lot of employers are figuring out how to do their spacing, their awareness, their safety issues at work. It's true. And I saw something this morning. I can't quite put my hand on it, but I think I can remember what it was saying. The health and safety executive have now been granted more powers to inspect sites and workplaces to ensure that safe practices are in place. And they've also got an enhanced reporting mechanism. If you work in a place that you don't think safe and you're being made to go to work, it is now easier to report that, so that the health and safety executive can investigate and find out what's going on. Obviously, there's a lot of information and advice out there. It's about being sensible, though. It's about the obvious, and the obvious in all of this is staying away from other people, especially in enclosed spaces. That's the big deal. And trying to keep at least 2 meters apart, and if possible, wear some PPE of some kind, masks, maybe gloves. But it's just about, you know, staying away from people as much as you possibly can, basically. There's a coronavirus business report that the government schemes have provided a lifeline, but the CBIL scheme, that's the Coronavirus Business Interruption Loan Scheme, has had a number of issues. A survey of SMEs and business owners carried out by McBride's Chartered Accountants revealed that without the current government measures to support them, 25% of all businesses wouldn't survive the lockdown, and more than two-thirds would have been forced to lay off staff. Over half the respondents reported that they were still awaiting a response to their application for CBILS, with 25% having waited for over a month. And there was anecdotal evidence that many of those were still waiting had applied instead for the newer business bounce back loan. The job retention scheme has proved popular with respondents to the McBride survey, with 76% of those surveyed having applied. It wasn't all plain sailing, though, as over half reported that they found the process complicated, and 11% had been forced to outsource the process. process. Interesting. Of those that had applied, 85% had received their grant within the 6 days promised by the government. The coronavirus business interruption loan scheme remains an issue for medium-sized and larger SMEs who are still in the dark as to whether they will receive financial support, and there are still businesses that fall between the cracks in receiving little or no government support. However, on the whole, the process has not turned into the nightmare it could easily have become. It's very true. You know, I think I know how frustrating it is. I mean, I've you know, with my businesses, we've been applying for all these things, and I know how frustrating it is. And, you know, you sometimes end up hanging on the phone for hours on end and all the rest of it. But, you know, but we also have to recognise that this is unprecedented, and that, you know, that it's unprecedented, and so many things have had to be rushed out that there's always going to be, you know, hiccups and things not working properly. I think people have done amazingly well to get where they are and to do the things that they've done, you know, and to get things working as well as they have. Of course there's problems, and of course things are falling through cracks, but everybody's trying to work really hard to catch up with that and to put it right and to do what they can do. I've got a bit of a crackly throat at the moment. It's because I'm dry. It's nothing to worry about. So we're going to join the newsroom shortly, and when we come back from the news, we've got another fantastic guest to talk to. We're going to talk to Ella Brocklebank, who's a business development manager at Jenna Group, the construction company. And she's also co-chair of the Kent Women in Construction Group. So we're going to be talking some more about construction and what's happening in the building industry with Ella when we come back. And then we've got a pre-recorded interview, Zoom 2, I'm calling it, with the hat wearer in chief, Jill Serkin. So do come back for that in the second half of the show. We'd love you to join us. Do keep your tweets coming. Tweet me at VanillaWeb with hashtag BBunker. And let's see what's happening. But let's go to the newsroom right now.
This is Channel 2.
Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
On the Hour, Channel Radio News Update.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.